Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
There have been many shocking ocean spills over the years, ocean oil spills, killing millions of marine animals and seabirds, devastating pristine environments in Alaska and in the Arctic. An Australian invention might, however, just be able to save the day for future events like the Exxon Valdez oil tanker grounding, or the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon offshore drilling rig in 2010, and the subsequent release of approximately 4.9 million barrels of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico. Do you remember those pictures of the birds washing up, just tragic, dripping in oil, unable to even shake their wings? This new material starts working within a minute. It's made of used cooking oil and a petroleum refining byproduct, a kind of super sponge, is made that soaks up spilt oil and similar products. And then the spilt material can be salvaged and potentially reused. This material is a kind of polymer. It was the brainchild of Flinders University nanoscientist Justin Chalker. You might remember we spoke about this very material on Open House previously. The first use discovery for this material was to clean up mercury pollution. But now, I think they may have another use for it. Dr. Justin Chalker, research leader, senior lecturer in synthetic chemistry at Flinders University, welcome back to Open House.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's my pleasure to be back.
When did you realize that the material you developed for the mercury work was able to have another use?
So about 6 months ago, as we were discussing other applications for this material is made entirely from waste. We take waste sulfur from the petroleum industry. We take used cooking oil from a cafe or our local fish and chip shop, and we can convert it into this rubber polymer. And this polymer was excellent at capturing mercury pollution. But we've since found out that because this material is hydrophobic, it doesn't like to interact with water, and it does like to interact with greasy substances like oil, we thought we would give it a try in capturing crude oil from water. And so we simply added the powdered material to crude oil, and indeed it absorbs the crude oil upon contact. But not only that, it actually aggregates together, and you can scoop this gel that forms, this polymer oil aggregate, so you can just scoop it out of the water with a net.
Goodness. So in application, you sprinkle it in a powdered form in the ocean where there's been an oil spill. Is that how you do it?
So there are a couple different ways in which you could deploy this substance to capture oil spills. The first, like you said, is just dispersing it directly on the oil. It absorbs the oil, it aggregates, and you can scoop it out. That may be more practical for smaller spills or spills that are confined in a smaller area. Mm. Out in the open ocean, it may be more practical to use this material in a filter where you pack the polymer into a pipe or some type of filtration apparatus. And then the oil-water mixture is passed through the filter. Mm. The purified water would be discharged back into the sea, and the oil would remain on the polymer itself. Another interesting aspect of the polymer is that it's elastic. It feels like a rubber or a sponge. And after the oil is attached to it, you can simply compress it and recover the oil and reuse the polymer.
So in other words, it's like soaking up a mess with a sponge. You wring out the sponge and what? You use it again?
That's exactly right. That's very much how it works.
Well, this is revolutionary. Is there anything else like it?
So there are certainly a lot of existing materials that are quite good at capturing oil from water. And each of them we view as being complementary, and it will depend on the context in which you need to clean up oil. Mm. We think that ours is advantageous in a few different ways. One of them is that we're still making this entirely from waste. So at the very least, the building blocks are very inexpensive, and we've identified a new application in which the material that you're using is from recycled or repurposed waste. And that's valuable in and of itself,
yes, indeed.
That's right. The other advantages are we already know from our work in the mercury space that the polymer is non-toxic. And that's important if you want to apply it directly to a spill in a waterway, because you don't want to add anything that could cause additional harm. There are other advantages to our material, like it floats on water. So after it absorbs the oil, you don't want it to sink to the bottom of the waterway, which you're trying to clean up. And the fact that you can recover the oil and reuse the polymer is also useful.
Dr. Justin Chalker is with us, senior lecturer in synthetic chemistry at Flinders University in Adelaide, and becoming something of an open house regular because of your work in using chemistry to actually restore and repair our environment, which has to be one of our primary objectives as human beings, I reckon. Dr. Chalker, how big is the problem of oil spills around the world?
So oil spills are a perennial threat to both land-based ecosystems and aquatic ecosystems. Of course, the large-scale oil spills like the Deepwater Horizon are very visible and certainly very harmful to the environment. We all know and have seen the pictures of oil slicks that can harm birds and fish and pollute the beaches and other coastal ecosystems. Mm. And that is a serious problem that still we face every year. But there are also thousands of smaller spills that occur in harbors and ports around the world with diesel fuel, crude oil, and other types of hydrocarbon pollution. There are leaky oil pipes around the world that also result in pollution. And this can harm ecosystems and affect both the plant and animals, but it can also affect local economies and the health and well-being of people who rely on, say, fish as a protein staple in these areas. Many of these oil spills are active and occurring now in parts of the world that have limited economic resources to deal with this pollution. The Amazon Basin in Ecuador, the Niger Delta are two examples which have active spills that have been going on for years, and there are limited resources to deal with those spills. So it's an intriguing prospect to study whether our material can actually capture more than one type of pollution. And that's certainly an area of research in which we'll be active over the next few years. So it's ideal if we can clean up, you know, not only oil spills, not only mercury pollution, but other types of heavy metal pollution or other types of hydrocarbon pollution that might be harmful. And if we can do all of those things at once, then that's a really valuable contribution.
When you're sitting on something as important as this, does your mind get scrambled about the urgency of needing to get this to market, or are you the sort of person who can just proceed through it in an orderly fashion? Because if it was me, I'd be wanting to race out, get it to market, get it into use as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so the sense of urgency is something that that our lab keeps in mind in any of these projects that we work on, and that influences the pace and intensity in which we try to solve some of these problems. Mm. And as we go forward, we at the same time still keep a level head on the necessary issues and questions that we have to address before it can be used widely. So for the next year, in this case, we have two main objectives. One of them is to develop a process where we can upscale the material. Because if you want to address the problem of mercury pollution and oil spills, you need to make a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
Fortunately, there are millions of tons of our building blocks, cooking oil and sulfur, all around the world in oil spill remediation. So we actually need to do field trials in these diverse settings to see the best way in which it can be deployed.
Wow. And along with all of that, you've still got a real sense of excitement about your work. I can just hear it in your voice.
No, that's right. I mean, it's the reason that we come in and try to be inventors and solve problems on a global scale every day. And of course, we're not doing that alone. We require support of like-minded people who are interested in protecting the environment and human well-being.
It rather makes a point about the value of pure science, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I have to stress at the outset of this project, it was purely curiosity-driven, and that curiosity was based on the question, can we take this waste that people aren't really using for too many things, and can we convert it into something useful? And then once we make this material, it's a new, interesting material with new properties. Can we leverage those properties in a productive application-driven way? But the application came after the discovery of the material itself.
Yes, a point well worth underlining. Justin Chalker, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Yeah, Dr. Justin Chalker, research leader and senior lecturer in synthetic chemistry at the Centre for Nanoscale Science and Technology, Flinders University. And he doesn't have a nano-sized business card. Got to write all that onto it. But what a great use. What a wonderful outcome for human ingenuity and curiosity. a gift from God, if ever there was one. What does this thing do? If we mix that with that, what'll it do? What happens if we make a polymer? Let's see what we can do with it. And then suddenly you've got something that can help restore and repair the planet. Just a great use of fantastic Aussie ingenuity, good research, good original research, not applied research. Applied research has its place, don't get me wrong. But if you sort of started with the oil industry saying, oh, what can we invent to soak up oil spills, you'd go to known quantities. It's just this magic spark that happens, this moment of revelation, it seems to me, when every now and then you're working and you say, I wonder what this does. And then you find something that has an application to solve a real-world problem. Well done, Justin. And your team?
So the starting materials are there, but we need to make an industrial process where we can make that on a multi-ton scale. Mm. So that's one problem. Mm. That's not easy to solve. A second one is we actually need to test this in the diverse environments you would encounter when you have pollution. These can vary in temperature. They vary in ecosystem. They vary in the scale and the other contaminants that you will also encounter.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.